in his ministry, both here and beyond Grace Covenant. I'm taking up the Sunday School again this morning on that theme that we have been looking at from time to time on the basics of Christianity. And this morning we come to the theme of trusting in a sovereign God. Trusting in a sovereign God. I want to suggest to you that one of the foundational elements of basic Christianity is this, that God is to be trusted and that he is a sovereign God in whom we put our trust. So that's where we're going this morning. Quite basic, simple truths, but which, if we catch hold of this truth, will save us from many pitfalls and from much doubting. And this morning I'm taking Jerry Bridges' book, Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. If you've read that book, you will recognize some of my headings this morning. It's a book that I think is most helpful. And in one of the chapters that he opens up this theme I want us to consider this morning. In 1902, Queen Victoria died, and she'd been a queen for a very long time on the throne of England. The newspapers, of course, were full of plans for the new king, King Edward the Seventh, as he would be called. And the headlines were, Edward, Prince Edward, to be crowned on such and such a date. Anything wrong with that? Yes, in those days, that was considered very presumptuous. I've been surprised when, from time to time, I've used a phrase like this in a letter I've written to somebody, that we plan to do thus and thus, and have written the word, the two letters, DV, after it. And people have said to me, DV, what does that mean? Sadly, in our present age, it's almost an unknown to put DV after a statement of purpose. It means Deo volenti, God willing. We will do this or that. We will crown a new king, God willing. And there was quite a hue and cry in the newspapers in 1902 when people wrote in saying, why was not the words DV written into the headlines? Now, not only do we not put it in the headlines, we don't even know what it means when we do. God is in control of all things. James chapter 4 is where we begin this morning. James chapter 4. And verses 13 and 15. Familiar words. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. This is the foundation text on this principle. God is in control, and we ought, as his people, to acknowledge that in all that we do. God is sovereign. He does whatever pleases him, and he determines whether we can do what we have planned. Let me say that again. He is sovereign, he does whatever pleases him, and he determines whether we can do what we have planned. He determines that, not us. He is absolutely independent, and he does as he pleases. This is our God. He is absolutely in control over the actions of his creatures. No creature or person or world power can thwart his will or act outside of the bounds of His will. This is our God. God is absolutely in control. And the question that I just throw out to you this morning is, do you believe that? Because that's what these verses speak of in James. Few Christians have any difficulty in believing in the love of God. And few Christians have any problem with believing in the wisdom of God. He is altogether wise. But we struggle sometimes in believing in the absolute sovereignty of God. It seems that men have no difficulty in believing that God can be anywhere except upon His throne. God can be anywhere, but don't put Him on His throne, because then I feel uneasy. Well, that's exactly where God is, upon His throne. He is in fact ruling the affairs of the world as the invisible sovereign Lord of heaven and earth. And my dear brothers and sisters, in Christ, this is our comfort. You see, because this God is also the God of infinite loving kindness and tender mercy, the God of all wisdom, but it is this God who is upon His invincible throne of sovereignty, ordering all the affairs of heaven and earth from that throne. Even Christian writers in our day fail to acknowledge God's invincible sovereignty, and quite commonly speak as though God voluntarily limits Himself to the actions of men in order to give men His freedom of choice. Others fail to acknowledge the controlling hand of God in directing or permitting every event in our lives, suggesting that suffering sometimes comes because of misfortune or because of accident. Things just happened, or they just came our way. Common phrases that are used to describe the events in our lives, somehow believing that they are occurring due to circumstances beyond our control. And so somehow we are responsible for them. But it's vitally important, brethren, that we have confidence in the sovereignty of God in all that affects our lives. Because you see, this is trusting in God. This is in fact faith. If these events in our lives occur because God is purposing them, and if we believe that, it changes our whole attitude to life itself. And if there's one single event in all the universe that occurs outside of God's sovereign power and control, then it's all up. We can't trust Him. His love may be infinite, but if His power is limited and His purposes are thwarted, I put it to you, we cannot trust Him. And if we do, He's not God. God never permits men to act contrary to His sovereign will. Think of that. And ask yourself, do I believe it? God never permits men to act contrary to His sovereign will. Now, I did not say to His revealed will, but to His sovereign will. Let's turn to some passages to establish that. I'm going to throw out 7 passages. I'm going to ask 7 brethren to find them, and then we'll go from there. So let's start right at the end here. Proverbs 16:9. Proverbs 19:21, Proverbs 21:30, Ecclesiastes 7:13, Lamentations 3:37, James 4:15, we've already looked there, but that's okay, and Revelation 3:7 for the front line. All right, let's begin with Proverbs 16:9. Now, what we're trying to establish is God is sovereign, and He never permits men to act contrary to His sovereign will.
The mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
The Lord directs his steps. Seth, Proverbs 19:21.
Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, it will stand.
But the counsel of the Lord stands, regardless of the plans of men. 21:30.
There is no wisdom and no understanding, and no counsel against the Lord.
There is no wisdom or counsel against God. Notice that. And then Ecclesiastes 7:13.
Consider the work of God, for who is able to straighten what He has bent?
Who can change God's purpose? Lamentations 3:37.
Who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it?
Who changes God's purposes? James 4:15.
Instead, you want to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that.
Because it's God who orders all things. In Revelation 3:7. Revelation 3:7. See the end of that verse? He who opens and no one shuts. God is sovereign. No man can thwart God's purposes. Man may make his plans, but no one can defeat God's purposes. These verses are clear, very clear. No one can straighten what God makes crooked, or make crooked what He makes straight. No one can say, I will do this or that, and have it happen as if it is not part of God's sovereign will. This is a tremendous encouragement to us who are believers, to trust God more and more, because He is sovereign in all our lives. If someone is out to get you in the office where you work, or if you have a boss who hates you, remember, God is in control. Nothing happens. Even the bent things in life are all part of His sovereign purposes. That person who is out to get you or who hates you cannot execute his malicious plans unless God permits it. God is in control. God may allow us to suffer. The pain is real. I shall never forget the time when my wife came home from the doctor's office and told me, it's cancer. And although it was 10 years ago nearly, it's almost like it was yesterday. The pain, the agony was excruciating. I was just terrible. I was much worse than she was. I couldn't pray even. That's how bad I felt. And so I mention this because in that whole experience, I came to learn rather late in life, find that God is in the crooked things as well, ordering all things perfectly. I have to trust Him in that situation. He is in control, even of those things that hurt and grieve us, because He's sovereign. Well, let's move on. We talked about the wicked deeds of wicked men. God is in control, remember, of them too. We talked about pain and sickness, cancer. God is in control of all these things. Mistakes and failures. The driver who ran at the stoplight and hit you broadside and perhaps put you into hospital and has given you a limp that you'll never get over. All of these events in life are part of his sovereign purposes. The doctor who failed to diagnose your cancer and as a result brought you through much suffering and sorrow that might have been alleviated. The incompetent teacher at college who taught you badly and gave you a bad grade. Whatever it is, all of those things, part of his sovereign purposes. All men are under the controlling hand of a sovereign God. Nothing, my dear brother and sister, happens outside of God's control. Remember, Paul was left in prison for 2 years by Felix. Joseph was left in prison for 2 years, interestingly enough, as well, because the cupbearer forgot to remember him. All of that was in God's inscrutable purposes. He meant it all for good. God is sovereign. And God does as he pleases. We've seen that nothing occurs outside of the bounds of God's sovereign will. We must understand that God also does as he pleases. And no plan of God's can be thwarted. Let's think of that. Not only does God do as he pleases, his plan cannot be changed. His plan cannot be overridden by man. He does as he pleases and only as he pleases. Get the point? He does as he pleases and only as he pleases. Not as man might seek to change or to frustrate his purposes. Let's look at some more texts. In the second and third row, let's see how we do here. Dave, we begin with you. Job 42:2. Paula, Psalm 115:3. Isaiah 14:27, Lysanne. Isaiah 43:13, Carl, Isaiah 46:10, and Daniel 4:35, and Ephesians 1:11. Good. Give it again. Job 42:2. Go.
I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted.
Okay, that's the theme. Can God's plan change? Can man thwart God's purposes? What does Job say? Absolutely not. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Psalm 115:3. He does whatever he pleases from his throne in heaven. Isaiah 14:27, Isaiah. Could that be clearer? Who can change God's hand? Its purpose will be accomplished. Isaiah 46:10. 43:13. 43:13. Okay. Sorry. You're right. I'm wrong.
Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it?
What a comfort there. I work, and who will reverse it, God says. And then 46:10. From the end, from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. And nothing can change his purposes. They will be accomplished. 46:10. Daniel 4:35.
Heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, what hast thou done?
No one can ward off his hand. You see, we're talking about thwarting God's purposes. The scriptures are clear. Nothing can change God's sovereign purpose. And lastly, Ephesians 1:11. One more time, please. Very good. Do you see the point there? God has predestined everything according to his purposes, and he will accomplish his purposes, and nothing can change that. God's plan cannot be thwarted. We're thinking about trusting in a sovereign God, and we're trying to get to grips with this very basic truth that this God whom we are to trust sovereignly orders all things, and furthermore, nothing can change his plan. No one can reverse his will or hold back his hand or bring him to account even. He's answerable to nobody. He is God. And as Pastor reminded us this morning, we have got to have a bigger concept of this God that we worship. And so often we are thinking of him in terms of our needs and our feelings. No, brethren, we have to think bigger than that. We have to see him, pardon me, as the sovereign God ordering all things and accomplishing his purposes. God does as he pleases, only as he pleases, and he works out every event to bring about the accomplishment of his will. That's what we believe, because that's what the Bible teaches. And this is our God. Let's remember that God's sovereignty must always be viewed, however, in the light of his other attributes, because if you didn't do that, you would perhaps be tempted to give up. You see, this Almighty God, who sovereignly plans all things and who certainly accomplishes his purposes and nothing can thwart him, is, let's remember, is the God of infinite loving kindness and tender mercy to sinners. Infinite in his wisdom. Infinite in his understanding of all things. This comforts us as we contemplate his sovereignty, as we come to trust in him as the sovereign God. Now, by way of summary, let's look at God's purposes. Overarching all of the events of our lives, God is concerned about conforming us to the likeness of his Son. As we think of all these events occurring in God's sovereign purposes, which we cannot change and which no one can alter, we have to remember that God has a purpose in them all. It's not some kind of esoteric, way out there purpose that is not revealed to us in the scriptures. God has revealed to us what his ultimate objective for his people is. What do you think that is? What is the purpose of God in all of these profound truths concerning his sovereign will? He's accomplishing his will and nothing ever thwarting his will. What is his ultimate purpose for the people of God in all of that? What do you think it is? Yes, Frank.
That they will worship and glorify him forever.
Good, which is the point that Pastor began with, wasn't it? That we might worship him aright and that for all eternity. All right. Yes. Good. Excellent. And also that we, if I may change the wording a little, and also that we might be more and more conformed to the image of his dear Son. That's spiritual growth. That's exactly what spiritual growth is, becoming more like Jesus. That's God's great purpose in all the outworkings of his sovereignty. Now we have to believe that. Well, if you want me to believe it, Pastor, got to show it to me in the Bible. because you're not here to hear what I have to say. So let's look at Romans 8 and see this clearly stated. Romans 8 and verse 29. Pardon me. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become, here it is, conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So you see that this verse is speaking about God's foreknowledge, God's predestinating of all things. Everything is under his sovereign control. And you see that his purpose is in this sovereign will that we become conformed to the image of his Son. He has a specific purpose for every one of us here this morning. He looks upon us, each one, as unique individuals. And he has a plan made, a tailor-made plan for each of us. Imagine that. This infinite God of wisdom and love and mercy, who in his sovereignty has a purpose and a plan for your life and mine. God has a plan for your life. And he's going to fulfill it. And can you stop it? You cannot. God will fulfill his purposes, and nothing can thwart that. And his purpose is that you and I be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the great purpose of God for our lives, so that when we leave this earth, we'll be more like Jesus, every day becoming more like him. Because then we shall see him as he is. Psalm 138, verse 8. Frank, would you like to read that for us, please? 138, verse 8. We're talking about God's purposes for us individually, and Psalm 138, verse 8 says,
the Lord will accomplish what concerns you. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is everlasting. Do not forsake the works of thy hands.
What a beautiful text. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me. Nothing can change. Nothing can thwart his purposes. Nothing can prevent him accomplishing his purposes for your life and for mine. His loving kindness is everlasting, and we plead with him not to forsake the work of his hands. We are the work of his hands. And he is committed to accomplishing what concerns us, and he will fulfill it. If God is committed to something, can he fail? I tell you not. He cannot fail, because he is God. And because we know he is sovereign, and because we know that he is able to orchestrate the events of our lives towards this great end of making us more like Jesus, we therefore can trust him. Trust him with the details. Some of you young people here this morning, you need to get hold of this. You really need to get hold of this. We can trust God with the details. The small print are in his hands. Everything is in his hands. And he has a plan for you and for each one of his children, tailor-made for you, to make you more like Jesus and to perfect his purposes in your life for which he created you. So that over all our actions and events, everything that goes on in our lives, whether we are working at home, tending the kitchen, or if we are in an office making multi-million dollar deals, it doesn't matter. It's all part of God's purpose for your lives. And in all our actions and events, God is in control. He was in control of Joseph, you remember? You recall the events of how Joseph was sold by his brothers into Egypt, and how he was made to be a servant, and how God raised him to a place of great prominence and power, And when the brothers eventually turned up in a time of famine, he was able to say, yeah, you meant it for evil. You really did the dirty on me. You thought that you were really giving me grief. But really, God meant it all for evil, all for good. And out of what seemed so evil, God's perfect plan was fulfilled. This ought to encourage us. Because you see, you and I have problems in our lives too, don't we? We may not be quite like Joseph, but we all have issues that we're dealing with. And we're all wondering from one day to another, what is going on? The Christian must learn to trust God, who is sovereignly working all things together for our good and for his glory. It was so for Joseph, and it will be so for all God's people for all time. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says to them in 2 Corinthians 5, it's a little short text, you don't really need to turn there, but I want you to see it. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Here is the issue. How is it possible for us to live this life of trusting in a sovereign God? Well, says Paul, we are to walk by faith, not by sight. And that faith in which we walk is a faith in a sovereign God whose purposes can never be thwarted, and who works all things together for our good. So we should not lose heart. I don't know, maybe some of you sitting here this morning, I'd be surprised if one of you is not faint of heart over the events in your life. Take courage from these verses that we've looked at and from this profound truth. And if you are not, and I know how some of you young people are thinking this morning, I don't know what you're talking about, Pastor Barker. I don't have any real problems. I don't know what this tribulation is that Christians speak about. All right, good, wonderful. But put this in your hip pocket, because the day is coming when you're going to need it. Because I assure you, if you're not presently experiencing trials and tribulations, you certainly will. There will be a time when you will need to take this verse and remind yourself, I am to walk by faith and not by sight. If I look at what I can see, I just see problems. But when I look with the eye of faith, I see a sovereign God ordering all my affairs. That's the issue. That's how you walk by faith. When you look with your eyes upon this sin-cursed world, you see much to discourage you. You wonder, how is it all going to work out? But with the eye of faith, you say, my God reigns. My God reigns. Frequently, we have, as human beings, we have to revert to plan B. You know what I mean by that, don't you? But plan A doesn't pan out, and then plan B comes into play. Or to use another illustration, frequently we have to pull the ripcord and use the parachute, because the first plan we had didn't quite work out. It's never like that with God. We react to our circumstances, but God never has to do that. God is never surprised by our circumstances. God is never forced to change his plans and to be surprised by the events that take place in your lives and mine. And whereas we often have to say, if only I had done this differently, if only I hadn't made that mistake. Oh. Haven't you not said that a few times? I don't know how many times I've said it. God never says it. He never has to. Our God reigns. He perfectly does his holy will. And he even uses our mistakes and weaves them into his sovereign purposes so that all things do work together for good, and ultimately his people are conformed to the image of his Son. That's his purpose, to make you and me more like Jesus. And often in our trials, God brings them into our lives in order to make us realize that we cannot trust ourselves or our circumstances. We have to trust in him. And not only that, he brings trials and difficulties into our lives so that we can help one another. I mentioned to you how it was 10 years ago when Mary came home and said, "It's cancer, I have to have surgery, I have to have chemotherapy, I have to..." And then I'm thinking, "I'm going to lose her, I'm going to lose her. I know I'm going to lose her." One brother came to me and he sat down and he said, "I've come to pray with you." And as I said to you, I couldn't pray. And he prayed, and I shall never forget the comfort that that was to my soul. And you see, that's how God uses us, to help one another in the midst of our trials, all with this great purpose of making us to be conformed to Christ, more like Jesus, and more trusting in our Father as he trusted his Father. That's his purpose in all these things. So let's learn to see in our sovereign God that he is fulfilling his purposes for us to make us more like Jesus. And one of the ways that we show we are more like Jesus is that we love one another and demonstrate a caring, loving concern for each other in our time of need. God never makes any mistakes. His ways are perfect. We can trust him. He's trustworthy. That's a good way to begin worship this morning, isn't it? May God help us to do that. I've got time to point you to another example in the scriptures. Turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. John, would you like to take that chapter and read the opening verses. Acts chapter 12. No, you'll see where you have to stop, I think. Okay, that's good. So, James, you remember, was the brother of John. James, we're told here, loses his head, put to death with a sword. You know, it's possible to read that verse 2 and just gloss over it. But how do you think his mother felt? How do you think his mother felt? But James was put to death. How do you think Peter's mother felt? He was not put to death. Peter was kept in prison and prayer was made for him, and on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward to kill him, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison, and an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared and light shone in the cell. He struck Peter's side and said, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off and he was free. How do you think Peter's mother felt about that? Here are two godly men. One is killed, murdered, brutally murdered, and the other is freed. And the two mothers have two different stories to tell. Peter's wife rejoiced in the sovereignty of God. I'm sure she did. But how do you think James's wife thought about the sovereignty of God? Was God any less sovereign in the life of James's mother than he was in Peter's mother? It's Mother's Day, understand? Get the segue? Just the same sovereign God. Is God sovereign only in good things, or is he sovereign through difficulties and trials? Okay, the gardeners. Ecclesiastes 7:14, Isaiah 45 and 7, and Poonam, your Lamentations 3:38. Ecclesiastes 7:14 for Glenn, and Gretchen is Isaiah 45, 7. And Poonam, Lamentations 3:38, and we're asking the question, is God only sovereign in the good times and not sovereign in the bad times, we might call them? You ready to go yet?
No.
Ecclesiastes 7:14. So the answer to the question is God makes days of prosperity as well as days of adversity. He is in control of all things. Isaiah 45:7. The Lord who does all things, creating calamities as well as those that are light and pleasant. And Lamentations 3:38, Punan.
Out of the mouth of the Most High, he speaketh not evil.
That's the question. And the answer is there in the text. Out of God's mouth proceeds both evil and good, both the delightful as well as the unpleasant experiences of life. And so that's part of our faith, brethren. As we trust in a sovereign God, we have to understand that God works all things, both good and evil, that is, pleasant and unpleasant, for our ultimate good. He controls both the good and the bad in life, adversity and prosperity. If your riches increase, set not your heart upon them, brothers, because ultimately you have to leave them all behind anyway. Remember, both good, both prosperity and adversity come of God. So, James's wife must trust God in his sovereignty, believing that he is in control over her life and the death of her husband. Now, get used to saying things like that, because you won't read it in the newspaper. God sovereignly orders all things. God is in control over my life and over my death. If you get run down tomorrow and killed in a road accident, you may be sure of this. God is not taken by surprise. It's all within his sovereign purpose. The God you worship is the God who sits upon a throne of invincible sovereignty. There are no mistakes. There are no accidents. We live under the hand of a merciful, loving, sovereign God. Trusting in God does not remove suffering and sorrow, then. Doesn't remove heartache. I can vouch for that. It does not remove heartache. It means, however, that in the midst of our suffering and our sorrows and our heartaches, God, who sovereignly orders all things, says to us, "My grace is sufficient for you." I don't understand it, I have to say. I don't understand it, Lord, but I trust you. Trusting in God, you see, is not a matter of how we feel. It is a matter of the will. I will worship my God. I will trust in my sovereign Father who orders all things well, even though I feel terrible. I'm not going to let my feelings govern my relationship to God. I must trust him, even when things go very wrong, as I judge it. Let's remember then, as we close, that in times of adversity, our first priority is to honor and glorify God by trusting him. Let me repeat that. In times of adversity, which some of you don't know yet, but they are coming, and in times of adversity, our first priority is to honor and glorify God by trusting him, by trusting in his sovereign, almighty, loving wisdom in ordering these affairs this way. And I'm going to say to him, Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you. God's grace will be sufficient for us. And like our Lord Jesus, remember that's God's purpose, to make us more like him. Like our Lord Jesus, we will be able to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We honor God when we choose his will and we say, not my will, but your will be done, Father. We honor him. We worship him. We glorify him as we do that. When we trust in God, we glorify God, even when we don't understand what he's doing and why he's doing it. These are profound things, aren't they? But they are basic. They are basic and foundational to our faith. And we should pray constantly that the Lord would help us to stay God-focused. God-focused in our daily walk, trusting in a sovereign God and knowing that he does all things well. And nothing can thwart his purposes. They are always good, and they are always perfect, and they are always right. Hold on to that, my beloved friends and brethren. Hold on to that. That is our anchor, our sheet anchor in the midst of the storms. For the storms must come. And God's purpose is to bring us through them, made more like Jesus. Let's pray.